Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Terry Lutz, Director, Electronic Tax Administration at the Internal Revenue Service. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Jim Cook. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Paul. Morning, Terry.
Morning.
Well, Terry, could you describe the specific responsibilities the Director of Electronic Tax Administration has?
Yes. Electronic Tax Administration's role, and I'm going to talk about that in two parts because it's right in the middle of changing right now, has been to develop strategy, to develop electronic tax administration products for use by tax professionals and by citizens, and also to operate those. And right now we're in the midst of a change because what we're trying to do, as the program has gotten bigger and we have developed more and more products, we're trying to integrate the operational component back into the operating divisions that operate the rest of the programs at IRS. And we will focus primarily on strategy and on development of new e-products.
How long has it taken to roll this out? You say as it's just gotten going.
The overall program at IRS, if you're talking about that, has actually been around since 1986. We processed the first electronic returns in days before most people had heard about the internet. And the program actually grew relatively slowly until about 1996 and 1997. And we had a study at IRS that made the determination that this really was appeared to be the future. It was going to appear to be what people wanted to do in the way they would interact business with government using this new thing called the internet. So we created the Electronic Tax Administration Organization to create an organizational focus on that. And that's what we did in 97. And the program has grown fairly significantly. We went from about 50 employees in the beginning of the organization to around 200 at our peak. And now we're moving some of those folks out of the organization, and we'll end up with about 150 people remaining. But the timeline for this transition is rather significant because what we've had to do is take a look at, well, how do you do e-government? How do you do e-business? And so we actually went and looked at the private sector, who've dealt with the same thing, traditional organizations going to e-organizations, and actually found a model of four stages, just like ours. First, you have sort of skunk works, if you will, a research project that begins to grow. Then you create a central, organization to create some strategic focus around it. And then you begin the process of trying to transition and integrate it into just becoming the way you do business, as opposed to a special program. Our commissioner likes to talk about the day when the special program will be the people over in the corner office who deal with the residual paper and the rest of the organization is doing electronically. So we've been trying to integrate that back into the rest of the organization. And there's some significant issues there because these are people who, like myself until 1997, were really paper focused. And there's a significant difference. So it's a process of training, encouraging them, helping them see the difference and integrating those operations back in there and recognizing now they're managing two things and you can't manage them both the same way.
When you were developing this, what were the skills of the 100 now or 200 people at its peak?
Actually, we were plain old IRS employees. I'm 25 years with the government, and I'm 25 years with IRS, with the military before that. Most of my employees were people who came out of the submission processing organization. They actually came out of either the paper processing organization or out of the IT side of the house. And then we actually learned how to do e-government because we were forerunners to what's going on in a lot of other agencies now. So we made mistakes. We learned things. And I think now a lot of folks come to us to find out how you do this.
Over the course of that time, Terry, and as you said, you kind of come from the paper environment. How did you personally become involved in electronic tax administration?
That's an interesting story. You may wish you didn't ask the question. I was the guy who didn't have a job. I had I stumbled into it and did very glad that I did. But I was had moved to Washington to work in the Associate Commissioner Modernization Office, which was handling the big modernization effort for IRS. We were doing some restructuring there, and as it turns out, the job that I had moved into wasn't needed anymore in this restructuring. So I was working for the deputy commissioner doing a variety of things, and this job came open. They asked me if I was interested. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I jumped into it. And that's sort of part of been my career. I've done a lot of different things in my career. I like new challenges, and this was probably more of one than I thought I was getting, but that's how I got there.
Well, that's actually, I think, an interesting story. And a follow-up question would be, as you went through that process, how did you deal with the change in approach or the philosophical or cultural change that you personally had to go through to adjust your thinking from a paper environment to electronic environment?
Crisis by crisis. And I mean, that's just very literally. And I think that's the way a lot of us learn when we go into new things is, you know, you go into it as managers, if we've been successful, and by the time we become move to the executive level, we've got some managerial instincts or we wouldn't have been successful. And you can, you know, you can rely on those instincts, know what questions to ask, when to ask them, understand when something's getting critical, and then deal with it. But I came into the job, and I had the responsibility for the operational program in the 1997 filing season. I started 2 weeks before the filing season started. And so I was right in the fire. And we actually had implemented a new change that year. That I'm not sure I actually knew we'd implemented at the time the filing season started. And it was a disaster the first day. Not something that kept us from being able to file, but a lot of returns were rejecting because of this check that we'd put in. And it was just creating fear. It was actually a date of death check. And in fact, as it turned out, we were rejecting returns of even IRS employees saying that they were dead because of the data in the file. And so you learn very quickly about the I learned very quickly about the IRS part of this, the taxpayer piece of it, but also the critical partnerships that are in there, that being the practitioner community in, for most of the returns that are filed electronically, and then very critically, the software companies and the technology companies who provide the software and actually transmit the returns to us, and the balance and how you've got to weigh all of those interests, because any of those fail, it does not work.
How have you translated the lessons learned from that experience into your leadership approach today?
It's really that one experience has had an impression, and it's impacted my entire time in the Electronic Tax Administration organization, because it really illustrated the importance of really coordinating changes. That the planning for a filing season, because frankly, if taxpayers are trying to file a return electronically, or the practitioner is, and it rejects, and it's the system goes down. If it were to go down for 2 days, and it's never been down for 2 days during my tenure, they're just going to file paper. And they may not even come back and try next year. And one of the things about the e-government of the electronic world is the customer expectations are so different here than they are in the paper world. I will send something in on paper, and I will accept the fact that through the mail it may take 4 or 5 days to get there and so forth. But when I'm dealing with electronic, it's instantaneous or it failed is the standard. And what that means is this coordination between all these entities is just extremely, extremely important. It's the key to the success of the whole program.
We often hear people talk about the culture of the IRS. I wonder if you could tell us, what is the culture of the IRS and what do they mean by that expression?
Well, the culture of IRS, there's a couple of, again, think of components of that, traditional components, and I think much of this is changing. One is I think in the past it was a very insular organization. My first job with IRS was as a manager, and so I sort of personally experienced it. That was very unusual in 1977 for somebody to come outside into at a branch level, a manager's job. And fortunately for me, it took an old branch chief was ready to retire in Wichita, Kansas, took me under his wing and taught me a whole lot of things about how to avoid the pitfalls of that. But it was very, very difficult. We had this unique mission. Nobody else could understand it. It was just so complicated. And if you thought we should do it differently, it just meant you didn't understand how we did things. To the point today that that I think there's a recognition that there is a lot of value to that component of the culture, in that there's a lot of organizational loyalty. There's an awful lot of folks that have been here for the long haul. They spend their entire career. You don't get a lot of movement in and out of IRS to other agencies. It occurs, but not much. We train a lot of our own folks, and they sort of grow up in the organization from, we've had stories of people who started in the mailroom and became a district director or service center director and executive in the service. And there's a lot of value in that. But I think we've also come to understand the value of having the person from outside with a different background. Our current commissioner is the first commissioner. He wasn't a tax person. He comes from the technology industry. And so we've had quite a bit of that movement, and I think really a beginning to appreciate and understand the value and the different perspective and the different insight into the culture. And the other change that's critical, that's one piece, is the outside blood. The second piece is the customer focus. Many people view us as a compliance organization. We're here to enforce the tax law. We say that many times. But we've come to recognize that many of the things that create the need for compliance is the lack of customer focus in the earlier parts of the tax process, making sure taxpayers understand early enough before they're in trouble, particularly with the business community, the small business community, that's a factor. So the customer focus is another piece that's changed. And I think right now I do a lot of talking with other agencies about their e-efforts, and I think it's as strong in IRS as it is any place else in government right now.
That's a good stopping point. Rejoin us after the break as we continue our conversation with Terry Lute of the IRS. Have you thought about filing your taxes electronically but maybe had reservations? We'll ask Terry about the issues surrounding electronic filing when the Business of Government Hour returns.